Blog Talk Radio.
Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and we never know. It could be a Twisted Mister or two. It's always up in the air. By the way, this is just an inkling on my part, but I think it was, you know, not just our imagination. That's what I think. And hello, Pam, and hello, Naomi. How are you tonight?
Hello, good.
Good, very good. So,
and how are you, Phil? How was your day?
You don't want to get me started, so I'm just going to say I'm doing wonderful. Doing wonderful. Thank you very much for asking. Yes, yes. Tell her, Pam, she doesn't want to open that door. yes, leave it closed. Lock it. So how are you both?
Doing good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Finally got my cat groomed. Oh, my gracious. What a story. Last week I took her to the groomer the place, you know, to get her groomed and everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't put her in a cage, and I had to travel like 45 minutes to the city. And she's not used to traffic and that, because where we live is real quiet.
Yeah.
And so, stupid me, I don't put her in a cage. I put her in this harness with this leash. And she panics when I go to take her into the grooming place.
Oh,
she panics.
God.
She flies out of my arms. She gets out of her harness, wiggles out of her harness, and she flies underneath a porch of this big apartment building. And I was there for 3 hours trying to get her out. I had to call animal protection services to come and get her out.
Oh, Jesus.
I was there. Stupid cat. I should have got a dog.
Oh, my God. Well, hopefully she looks beautiful.
Oh,
right?
My gracious. No, but she was so tangled, her hair, that I didn't have much choice. So they had to, like, shave her. So, oh, my gracious, she just looks awful.
Oh, God. Well, that'll teach her to misbehave on a trip. That's all I'm
saying. Yeah, that's it.
Right. Oh, so don't gracious. Misbehave. You wouldn't be looking like this. Absolutely. Oh, my God. So tell us about your contest for tonight, Naomi.
Yeah, well, you know, I was looking, you know, you always look across your Facebook, and if you're like me, you're into all these pages that have art on them and poetry and whatsoever, and I came across these real cool, you know, art pieces, and it was by the Eminent Art Studio. I was there, what is this Eminent Art Studio? So I went on, and you know, they described their motto is bright, modern, cool as hell. And they're an art studio, and what they do is they do digital art, and they say that, you know, in a world where conformity reigns and supreme, they offer a breath of fresh air. They celebrate the brightness of life. And their art pieces are a testament to the power of the imagination. Each piece is a unique creation. They're crafted to evoke emotion and spark the imagination with a focus on psychedelic and colorful themes that transport you to a world beyond the ordinary. So, yeah, you know, a world where everything is possible, and, you know, they're just inspiring and captivating, and, you know, I thought they were really cool stuff. So, yeah, and I was happy the response I got, you know, pretty good response, and a lot of people wrote to more than one prompt. I was reading to the poems, I saw that. Yeah, so, you know, kind of cool.
Right.
So, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, they were nice pictures. They were really, I thought they were really pretty. And a lot of people were talking about them, and everyone had to check them out. But, yeah, I get it. Nice stuff. Nice.
And, of course, being me, I have to put up, like, 30...
I totally get it.
I just couldn't choose, you know.
I do the same thing. If I have 25, I have to use 25. I was going to cut the ones down I did for my next contest, and I was like, no, what do I leave off here? No, let's put them all up. I just put them all up. I said it'll work. Somebody might take them with it.
That's it. You never know what's going to inspire somebody. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, whenever you are ready to get started, it is entirely, the ball is entirely in your book.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I'm going to put up this first piece because I think that she, this poet Kelsey Watt, I think she totally captures the, you know, all that the art is in her poems. So,
right.
Phil, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us.
Sure, let me just find it, because I'm everywhere and nowhere. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Pam, I just saw your message. Sorry. Okay, this is called Wonderland by Kelsey Wundt, or Kelsey Wundt. I'm not sure which way to say it. Grab a fistful, chew, gag, then wait. Come up. Head floats off shoulders over to mountains, dripping wet with purple precipitation. Look out, trembling zigzags, neon orange, pink, shine vibrant in the sunburnt sky. Fish swim through the wind, dodging Venus flytrap foes. Breath billows out, bright blue, yellow swirls. Grass gives birth to pyramids, posing like watchful statues. Time moves backwards in melody and poem. Neat.
Yeah, you know, I thought, you know, this was really, like, she put the word in crazy in her A-N there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, but she has so much imagery, and it's so, like, the art. It's all, you know, like just swirling swirls, and you know, she's, you know, the just bright and all kinds of stuff. And I love, you know, how she finishes with time moves backwards in melody. Yeah, that's so nice. It's like, you know, you're just floating there somewhere, and you're in, you know, in the middle of a song, or, you know, a cheer, you know, something, you know, floating there in midair. What did you think, Pam?
I think that if I ever did shrooms, I'd imagine it to be very similar to reading this poem.
Wow.
I really like it, you know, and she does give us definitely a warning because she titles it Wonderland, and it does have that Alice in Wonderland vibe to it. I really like head floats off shoulders over to mountains dripping wet with purple precipitation. That wonderful use of alliteration with purple precipitation, and the imagery, I mean, oh my goodness. And then I also really like fish swim through the wind, dodging Venus flytrap foes. I really like the surrealism in this, right, and how it almost seems as if one is astral projecting across the world and seeing things in a new way. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
There you go.
And what did you think, Phil?
Well, you know, I thought it was a nice piece and a great take on the prompt. I also thought there was a lot of great descriptions in the work itself. You know, she kind of met the prompt nicely. I think we'll hunt it up. This little tough one is not right in front of you. But, yeah, I think she did a fine job with this. And it was a nice piece to read because, you know, you kind of could just take your time and put up the each one of the descriptions, you know, as you go along. So it was good. Nice work. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we don't have anybody with us, eh? I see Ed Hunter's on the board.
Yes.
Okay.
Hi,
Ed.
Hi, everyone.
Hi,
yeah,
Ed.
I could only read mine today. I've been pretty busy, so if it's okay.
No problem. Did you happen to hear the last poem?
No, I kind of just heard half of it, so I missed it.
Okay, no problem. I'm going to just go back and get yours. There, not too hard to get because it's the first one on the board. And come back to the page, pop that in. Okay, So whenever you're ready.
Okay.
My dear, your poem is up there, and just
okay.
Give it a read for us.
Okay. First, I want to explain that I've been teaching martial arts since 1984, so this has a little bit of explaining how you kind of meditate. So here we go. To achieve, breathe in. Seek the internal grace between body and mind. Breathe out. Know you have the will to mindfulness. Become aware of the air coming in and going out of your body. We are like water. When water is calm, it reflects the blue sky, the clouds, and the trees. When we are excited, agitated, and noisy, we become the waves crashing against the rocks. Breathe in. Let awareness flow to your eyes. Breathe out. Allow your eyes to sink back into your head. Let go of the tension. Relax the muscles surrounding your eyes. Paradise is one with yourself. See the beauties of color and shapes. See to be alive. Breathe in. Let knowledge cultivate your mouth. Breathe out. Release the tension around your mouth. Our lips are petals from a rose. Let your smile bloom from the goodness of this earth. Breathe in. Bring humbleness to your heart. Breathe out. Expect the honor of humility. Allow your heart to relax. Embrace the tenderness that we have neglected. Let your body awaken. Untangle the anger, the hatred, and jealousy. Breathe in. Let peace wrap around your soul. It is the most treasured love, fusing the body and mindfulness. End poem.
Wow. I'm so happy you phoned in, Ed, to read that for us. You know, that was, that just put me right into a calm, soothing and peaceful, place that just listening to you. And I actually did it. I breathed in, I breathed out. And, you know, it was really like I was going through a session of meditation with you. And I think we don't do that enough in our society today. We're just, going like crazy all the time, and we don't take the time to reunite in a way with our own inner selves, our own self, or, whether it be our body or our spirituality or focusing on ourselves and just calm down. We have to calm down and
yes,
get in touch with ourselves. Yeah. And so what a wonderful piece, and, to that prompt and to achieve, it's a great thing to achieve that. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is wonderful. It's a beautiful and thoughtful write on finding inner peace and balance through control of breath and the understanding of our environment and ourselves. And I have to say, I really liked this all the way through and the meditative way in which you read it. But I especially like the stanza that says, we are like water. When water is calm, it reflects the blue sky. And the other part I really like is breathe in, bring humbleness to your heart. Breathe out, expect the honor of humility. Allow your heart to relax. You know, wonderful lines on the whole idea of how, you know, our calm nature reflects off of the world around us. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Oh, absolutely. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, Anna, I thought this was a wonderful piece, a nice take on that chosen prompt, really. It was a nice slow walkthrough meditation. Nothing better than to slow down and refocus, you know, that does a lot for your body and your soul and your mind, you know, all three of them. And I've been lucky enough to test that a couple of times in my life. So it was nice work and well done. So thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much, Ed, for phoning in and sharing that with us. That was a real, real treat. And
oh,
I guess
I really appreciate
to go.
It. Yes, I do. I've been working on something and been pretty busy, so.
No problem. So you have a good rest of the night.
Absolutely.
Everyone, you also.
Thanks,
good night,
Ed.
Hon.
Have a
okay.
good night.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so thank you, Ed, for phoning in. That was great. And I'd have to go back and get our next piece for the night. I was so busy. I was in a meditative state there, so.
Never do it.
Okay. So the next piece up will be by Bookworm Dave. And Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read, please.
I'll be happy to. Prompt 25, Sunkissed Beauty, by Bookworm Dave 227. In the hot summer rain dripping off her hair, Abby sang in the rainstorm on our way to lunch. I think maybe it was dinner. Her long hair soaked with the rain, teasing me wet is something I like, smiling at her as she told me about her class. We only shared one this semester, English comp. Professor Carroll, she went on to say, connecting her thoughts. Yeah, I know, I said with apathy, sensing my annoyance, most least favorite class, mumbling her name in vain. She does like cats. You and I both like cats, meowing to make me smile. It always did. Her meows brought a giggle, a smile and a giggle. She knew how to bring me out of the funk. Even as I looked at the essays due, telling me your poetry is awesome, prose, not so much. Looking for her as I write, maybe she will sharpen my quill, making me better. Writer, poet, and court fool, and poem.
Great read, Pam. And I like how Bill attacked the prompt, you know, that prompt 25, sun-kissed beauty. So he brought in the sun-kissed, you know, he brought in the this is a great write because he brings in all the facets of her character in here, and we really, you know, get to know this character. I like when he says, mumbling her name in vain, she does like cats. You and I both like cats, meowing to make me smile. I always did. Her meows brought a smile and a giggle. She knew how to bring me out of the funk. So, you know, those little intimate details, you know, those little parts that he puts in really, you know, makes the write makes it more authentic and real. And great write here by Bookworm Dave, a great little story told. And what did you think, Pam, or Phil?
I thought it was a nice piece. I really did. I thought it was a well-written, as you said, story from beginning to end. And I liked how he was winding it up down here even as I looked at the essays due, telling me your poetry is awesome, prose, not so much. Looking for her as I write, maybe she will sharpen my quill, making me better. Writer, poet, and court fool. I thought that was nice because, you know, everybody has a muse. Everybody has something that inspires them. And apparently, this person inspired him. And I liked it. I really thought the write was good. Absolutely.
Indeed. Absolutely. Well mm-hmm. said there, Phil. And Pam, your thoughts?
This is a wonderful, nostalgic tale of young love. And I like how he creates an interaction between the two characters. And, you know, I especially like where they kind of communicate by finishing each other's thoughts. You know, Professor Carroll, she went on to say, connecting her thoughts, yeah, I know I said with apathy, sensing my annoyance, most least favorite class, mumbling her name in vain. You know, so that was really, I really like how he approaches the idea of these two people interacting with each other in such a playful and understanding way. So great write and very well done.
Absolutely.
Well said, Pam. And thank you so much, Bookworm Dave, for encouraging us and writing for, you know, almost every contest that we have out there. And, yeah, thanks. We really appreciate it and appreciate you. And the next writer we have up also, you know, contributes to all our contests, and she's a great writer, Jenny the Deep, Sanguine Shines, and I guess it's my turn to read, so this goes, Sanguine Shines. Escape the darkest depths of my dreary mind, glowing bright like citrus lunar iridescence, rising like ocean tides under magenta skies. On the edge, I reflect on yesterday's life lessons. Glowing bright like citrus lunar iridescence, my family tickles my cheeks with kisses till I smile, awakening my rarely seen effervescence, they spark inner fluorescent light to last me a while. My family tickles my cheeks with kisses till I smile, proving laughter is the best medicine. Stranded in a cesspool of a world so bitter and hostile, we fight today's storm to live for tomorrow's shiny sanguine. Proving laughter is the best medicine. Our smiling face is bigger than grapefruit. Wishing I can stay contentedly reticent, but like tidal waves, unpredictable is my mood. And poem. What a wonderful ride from Jenny the Deep. Oh, my gracious. And what did you think, Pam, of this write?
Oh, I thought this had beautiful imagery and metaphors. I like how it speaks on the idea of, you know, how family can help pull us out of our dark times of our mind, like when you're dealing with depression. And she shows that in how she leads from the first line, escape the darkest depths of my dreary mind, and then the use of the imagery here, glowing bright like citrus lunar iridescence, my family tickles my cheek with kisses till I smile, awakening my rarely seen effervescence that spark inner fluorescent light to last me a while. You know, it's nice to have those people around you, whether it's family or friends, that spark that inner fluorescent light that you need. So wonderful write by Jenny and very well done.
Oh, indeed. You know, and I, you know, she, the importance of family there. Yeah, like you said, Pam, you know, she attacks that so wonderfully, and, you know, that's so important, you know, to have people around you that you can count on. But, you know, she also hit, you know, that first stanza is amazing, by the way. I just love it. But, you know, when she says, I reflect on yesterday's life lessons. So, you know, the lessons of yesterday, then the family. And then, you know, she adds in at the end, proving laughter is the best medicine. Our smiling face is bigger than grapefruit. Wishing I can stay contentedly reticent, but like tidal waves, unpredictable is my mood. And yeah, we're always, you know, the mood that we're in, yeah, that's kind of unpredictable for sure. And so I really liked this, you know, how it went in. You know, that first stanza drew me in. And the rest of the write just captivated me totally. So wonderful, right, Jenny? And what did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought it was a nice write by Jenny, a great reflection on the chosen prompt. I mean, she did stray from just the image itself, which was great, because that's what sparked her to think that way. But I liked her first two stanzas. Escape the darkest depths of my dreary mind. Glowing bright like our citrus lunar iridescence, rising like ocean tides under magenta skies. On the edge, I reflect on yesterday's life lessons. Glowing bright like citrus lunar iridescence, my family tickles my cheeks with kisses till I smile, awakening my rarely seen effervescence. They spark inner fluorescence, light to last me a while. I thought they were great lines, especially that first one. The first one definitely pointed right back up at the image and goes, yeah, I think she got it. I think she, you know, she really pulled it together nicely. It's nice work, Jenny, and thanks for sharing with us. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. You know, she really did pull everything out of that prompt for sure, in a creative, unique way. So clever. Bravo, Jenny. Thank you for writing. And the next poem I have up is by Jody Melton. And Phil, can you give that a read for us, please?
Sure thing. Okay, this is called The Cosmic Artist by Jody Melton. On a hillside stitched with hues, he sits, a man, a spectrum, where shadow and sunlight coexist. A mosaic of colors drapes his frame, each a stanza, each a name. Tree limbs, like tendrils of an untamed vine, caress the heavens, seeking the divine. His back to us, yet within him we could find a solitude where art and nature coincide. In his lap rests a cup of tea, a liquid sonnet, an ode to thee. Remember me as you pass by, for as you are, so once was I. A Joshua tree sprouts from his mind in colors that expand the eye. It tells us to seek, and we shall find the calm within the raging storm, to think outside the box, outside the norm. It springs from thought, a vibrant spree, a paradox, living epiphany. The tree is a vivid metaphor for thoughts that sprout from the divine, a symbol of the evermore, a life that's both yours and mine. The sun, a daub of gold on canvas grand, illuminates the cascade of colors that expand. Tangerine and lavender, indigo swirled, a masterpiece spun from the loom of the world. Suggest a cosmic, boundless flare that keeps the man both far and near, a part of everything that's there. The sky above's no simple shade, but cascades in a vivid spill, as if the heavens had arrayed their very light to match his will. In him, art and nature perfectly collide, the cosmic artist on a hillside. End poem.
Wow, amazing read there, Phil. You know, I just love this write. And once again, you know, Jody, he pulled out every little detail of that artwork. Oh my gracious, this is just amazing. And he cleverly, you know, just breathed it, life into it, you know, and put it as he put it into the poem. I just love the stanza. Joshua tree sprouts from his mind in colors that expand the eye. It tells us to seek and we shall find the calm within the raging storm, to think outside the box, outside the norm. It springs from thought, a vibrant spree, a paradox, a living epiphany. And, you know, when I was describing the what motivates, you know, the studio, well, a lot of that came up, you know, thinking outside of the box, using your imagination, jumping, you know, outside of the norm, you know, seeking that calm, you know. Just an amazing write, full of wonderful, wonderful imagery throughout, wonderful colors used. Beautiful, beautiful write by Jody. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I thought this was wonderful. I too really like that he used the Joshua tree, which is a tree or a shrub that grows in the desert, and one of, you know, the larger plants that do. And so it grows in very adverse conditions. And so I feel like by putting the Joshua tree in there, it's kind of a symbolism of having strength in difficult times. You know, this has a great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery and metaphors. I really like how there's a spiritual message within this that has a layeredness to it. Like, I feel like the artist could be God himself, but it can also be the idea of how the artist's ability to create is, you know, has a very spiritual feeling to it, and that can go for anybody who's creative. And, you know, I just really like how he went very philosophical with this, very spiritual, really took advantage of all the imagery in the painting. I particularly like tangerine and lavender, indigo swirl, the masterpiece spun from the loom of the world, suggests the cosmic boundless flare that keeps the man both far and near, a part of everything that's there. You know, and that whole idea of just finding that connection. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Oh, yeah, well said there, Pam. An awesome, awesome comment. And, you know, I really like this right, too, as you said. Amazing. And Phil, your thoughts.
You know,
that was a wonderful read.
Thanks. I thought this was a really great piece. When you look at the piece and you see how the colors all, first off, they embrace the man, you know, in the garb he's wearing. But then they come out of his head, and it just gives you the feeling that it's a very cerebral kind of thing going on, okay? That's just me. Maybe I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I really thought that the write was wonderful. I thought he really, it was a great reflection of that prompt. From what I, you know, from way I interpreted it to what I read. And I've grabbed these two stanzas. His back to us, yet within him we confide, a solitude where art and nature coincide. In his lap rests a cup of tea, a liquid sonnet, an ode to thee. Remember me as you pass by, for as you are, so once was I. I love that stanza there. But then it goes, Joshua tree sprouts from his mind, and colors that expand the eye. It tells us to seek and we shall find the calm within the raging storm, to think outside the box, outside the norm. It springs from a thought, a vibrant spree, a paradox, living epiphany. I thought that was just, those two stanzas there really stood out to me, and I thought they were great. So wonderful job, Jody, and thanks for sharing with us. I'm glad you had the opportunity to write.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful, right? And next up, I have one by Heavenly Angel. And, she chose another wonderful art piece there. And, Pam, if you could read this one for us, please.
Absolutely. From dawn to dusk, we love each other, by Heavenly Angel. Blueberry-tinted clouds drift quietly, slowly along spearmint and peach-tinted sky as morning breaks low on the horizon. We're snuggled under a beach blanket, watching the sun make its debut. No words spoken, just absorbing the view and each other. Tangerine and persimmon tints blaze overhead as evening sets in. We sit on the deck sharing a bottle of chilled Chardonnay as romantic music plays in the background, the sweet music of our life together. End poem.
What an amazing read there, Pam. And what a, you know, a wonderful poem this is. You know, the imagery, again, you know, of course the artwork is full of imagery, but, you know, the poets tonight, you know, they really took that all those colors and you know, those that vibrancy, and they poured it into the rites. I just love her use of color again in this poem, and the juxtaposition of the two sides of the artwork, the way she did that, just wonderful. And what did you think, Phil?
I knew you were coming here. I thought it was a sweet write in content and meaning, you know, the sweet music of her life together. I thought that was a lovely way to end it. But I thought her use of color in her descriptions really met the prompt so well, because, you know, you have these two images side by side, and, you know, it's day and night of it, you know, and I think that she really described them nicely and captured a lot in the image. But I like how she also wove in the human feelings, you know, of what was going on along with the image. So nicely done, Heavenly Angel. Great job.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Phil. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I really like what Phil had to say about how she wove in the human emotion along with the imagery, and I have to agree with that. Another thing I noticed with this is her consistency with her color choices. They're all a representation of food or taste, which I think, you know, adds a nice professional, like, finish to it because of the consistency in those word choices. And I do like how this is such a beautiful and heartfelt write all the way through. I really like the imagery in tangerine and persimmon tints blaze overhead as evening sets in. And then the ending line is great, too. The sweet music of our life together, as if, you know, it just how it speaks on that just beautiful idea that, you know, there's that background music, that song that connects, or that type of music that connects the two of you for life. And so wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. I love you, you know, that you you pointed that out, what Phil had said, you know, the emotional impact of the writer along with the imagery is amazing. And yeah, I found that the whole write had like a calming effect on me, and like a magical dream, like, you know, transported me to a magical dream like place. So wonderful, wonderful write by Heavenly Angel, for sure. And our next write-up will be Nod Into You by Time Teller. And I guess it's my turn to read. Boy, this one is long, but it's worth it. It's worth every word, because I read it earlier, and it's just amazing. So he wrote to the painting where, you know, the title of the painting is Not That Into You. And so it goes like this. Not That Into You. Elbow, stab, puncturing pressure points to soft tissue bruises, crushed in velvet and braided fleshy kisses. buried alive, gasping for air. Darkness exhumed, smothered, heated exhalation, gargling under waves, salivated drips curled from the corners of a false smile. Panted moans break a silence of this graveyard, the cemetery of years, this war memorial of toil and making things work. This catacomb of once happy memories, this great pyramid of stubbornness, belligerence, and stone monolith pride. We grab oxygen with irritated itchiness, the diabetes of crawling skin within this coffin of mingling decaying flesh that once lit the room like the petals of a firework display. Are we human? The song asks. Are we in time moving to the same rhythm? Our lives seem forked, and if compared, one of us is stuck at the intersection, looking both ways at the blurriness of speeding traffic. Intoxications, heat now, a swamp of crocodile-infested sweat, switching on a washer to a permanent cycle. Our laundry room, a stank of missed chances, forgotten words, a dementia of lost caresses. We peel from each other with an expectation of finding fresh fruit beneath skins, a delicacy of separation under the solar glare of days. Our minds give in to the F-up proteins that gather, allowing us to forget last night, along with all those other nights, and once enjoyed stolen moments in places meant for other things. We sigh as afternoon rolls on, relaxing into evening, a surround sound insect chatter about our own silence, slowly awakening a rise of need, and we look about the house for company as if it were some nightclub or social gathering where the crowd momentarily is in another room. We sigh again into night, breathing slowly, wondering if the alarm is set and what it is that tomorrow has for us. We study photos, our children, their chronological ordered lives, speaking the lives of their success. And slowly we gather under sheets, we clamber and prepare ourselves for a coffin of flesh, our zombie moves and words directing each other to a needed finale. A loss of air sends us sleepy. That washer swirls and spins and cycles, thrashing the parts here and there, climaxing and shuddering vibrations, teleporting me from its static viewpoint across the cold tiled floor before quietness descends and the darkness presses down, pressuring organs to pulse and beat in vain at a portrait of emptiness, me and you. We catch each other's glances, looking for a neon exit sign, and we wonder, are we better in or out of the rain? We lay in pretense of sleep, listening to gutters overflow, dripping monotonous drips that pierce the night air like a crown of thorns and bony elbows. Dutifully awake, we lay waiting for that single chirp, that single song that sparks a morning glory of repetition. And I remember, I have to reprimand the postwoman for her rudeness to you. End poem. And wow, you know, I wrote to him that, you know, it was just so amazing, the lines. I couldn't just pick out just one. This is an amazing portrayal of a relationship that is going down the gutter. And, you know, or a relationship that's stuck at a red light that never changes, you know. They're just stuck there. And, you know, and from being in these past relationships that are exactly like this, you know, this, yeah, really, you know, I really related to this right, and you know, all the metaphors that are in here are just incredible, and just the whole vibe of the piece, he really catches that, you know, that feeling of being stuck in this relationship that's not moving, and you know, that's just stuck there in time, and they're just living, you know, just breathing, but like stuck in coffins, as he says so often in the piece, you know. And yeah, this really inspired me. I really like this write. And Pam, are you back?
I am, yes. And great read of that, Naomi. I thought this really had powerful, hard-hitting lines, brilliant imagery and metaphors. I really like how this shows a relationship, as you were saying, that's falling apart, to where the couple are just going through the motions in front of people, you know. And I really like intoxication, heat, now a swamp of crocodile-infested sweat, switching on a washer to a permanent cycle, our laundry room a stink of missed chances, forgotten words, a dementia of lost caresses. You know, and it those lost chances, those possibilities, you know, that what could have been but will never be. And I also really liked, we study photos, our children, their chronological ordered lives, speaking the lies of our success. And that to me speaks on the idea of not only of them lying to themselves, but the thought that they're staying together basically just for their children. And so wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Well said there, Pam. Awesome comment. And Phil, your thoughts on the write.
This was an excellent piece. I keep trying to figure out where I want to draw from out of it. You know, there's so much happening in it. And it's a very sad piece, and it's very... it's amazing in the way he wrote it, and it's very sad because there's so much that he brings into play in this. You know, it's got, let me see. Are we in time moving to the same rhythm? Our lives seem forked in our, and just, wow, let me try this all in English, okay? Are we in time moving to the same rhythm? Our lives seem forked, as if compared, one of us is stuck at an intersection, looking both ways in the blurriness of speeding traffic. Intoxication's heat now, a swamp of crocodile-infested sweat, switching on a washer to a permanent cycle, our laundry room, a stank and missed chances, forgotten words, a dementia of lost caresses. He brings in dementia there, and then he brings in... now I have to find it. This is terrible. I got so many places I got to look. He talks about proteins that gather, allowing us to forget last night along with all those other nights. You know, and once enjoyed stolen moments in places meant for other things. It's as if, you know, he's got all this physical... See, that's what I keep getting from it, is all these physical issues that are taking away from so much and taking away from what was once had by two. I just kind of, I'm not even sure like where to go from there, but it talks about, you know, I wish I could just find these things when I want them. Something's wrong with that. It just has so many references throughout. You know, it talks about, you know, the skin, you know, under the skin of, here we grab oxygen with irritated itchiness, the diabetes of crawling skin within, this coffin of mingling, decaying flesh that once lit the room like the petals of a firework display. There's so much, reference to illness throughout here that's detracting from what once was. So part of me goes, wow, you know, that's kind of, it's heavy duty stuff. We know how it is. You know, we've all been through something similar. And, you know, and I think that it was just really put together, and it's very, I don't know, I thought it was really touching. And I don't mean like, oh, that was touching. No, I mean, it kind of pulls a little bit, and it really pulls on those real thoughts and that sadness. And I think that it was just really well done. So great work, Time Teller. And, you know, wow, that's all I can say. Incredible, right? And very well done.
Mm-hmm. A very powerful piece indeed. Yeah. I get it, you know, when you say the sadness that you feel out of it, you know, it's touching, you know. And, yeah. And so well done, Time Teller, and thank you so, so much for that, right? And next up, we have a write by Skylighting in Heaven. And Phil, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Sure thing. I like the name, Skylighting in Heaven.
That's yeah, good. Cool.
Absolutely. Okay, this is called A Last Dreamer by Skylighting in Heaven. She dreams in technicolor, a fleece in rainbow-painted memes. Her mind flies beyond their fruits of air, martyr thoughts of enduring flair. A statue of known movements in her mind irrigates, drops of heaven's cloud of the pearly gates, canceled be not the sun, driving warmth to everyone. Spiral smiles in pastel fragrant hazes, a maestro of never-ending color phases, cast unto blame the frequent worst, brave in the abnormalities of spectrum hues of earth. Swirls abound of gold, aqua, the burnt too. A celebration dazzling, senses embrighten you. Courageous being on plight with God, your beautiful palate is lockstep of holy facade. Alas, dreamer, we have cuts away. We have cut, alas, dreamer, we have cut ways. Sparkling ethereal zeitgeist. Of imperial plains. The Lord's footmark is stamped so bright with soul, painting affluent words in color designed, orchestrated control. End poem.
Wow. Oh, wow. Amazing, amazing read there, Phil. And you know, what a deep poem this is, you know, that, you know, it really celebrates the world of the dreamer in, you know, in such a way that it becomes, it turns it into almost a spiritual moment. I just love the, you know, the spiral smiles and pastel fragrant hazes, a maestro of never-ending color phases. Cast on to blame the frequent works, brave abnormalities of spectrum news of earth. And, you know, the rhythm and the rhyme throughout it is just amazing. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this definitely has great rhyme and flow, just absolutely beautiful imagery. I like how it is a celebration of a soul that is colorful, the dreamer who thinks differently and who really spreads light and joy to other people's lives. I really like Spiral Smiles and Pastel Fragrant Hazes, a maestro of never-ending color phases. Cast unto blame the frequent worth, brave abnormalities of spectrum hues of earth. You know, they here's a person that really sees beyond the normal colors, really, you know, sees the full spectrum of possibilities out there, and so has that really positive energy that other people pick up on. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Well said, Pam. really picked up on the right. Amazing comment there. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, again, another well-written piece and an excellent take on the prompts. You know, I love the use of color throughout, and I think that it was just really well put together, most definitely. Swirls abound of gold, aqua, the burnt too. Celebration, dazzling senses, and brighten you. Courageous being on plate with God, your beautiful palette in lockstep of holy facade. Alas, dreamer, we have cut ways. Sparkling ethereal zeitgeist, there I go, same word I tripped over last time, of imperial planes. The Lord's footmark is stamped so bright with soul, painting affluent words in color, designed, orchestrated, control. I just think it's really, really nicely put together, and a great job again with the prompt. So, you know, I mean, that's the way I see that. Nice work.
Mm-hmm. And you know her name Skylighting in Heaven goes so well with the prompt. Hey, it's true, eh? With the artwork. And you know, this is a new poet that for me anyway, so I hope to see much more from this poet in the future for sure. And next up, we have a write by BlueWrite76. I am telling you, I've been away too long, you know. All these poets here, well, Time Teller I know, and some of the others, but, you know, so many are new. Oh, my gracious. It's like coming back and everything is, you know, transformed. So, yeah, this write is by BlueWrite76, and Pam, whenever you're ready, dear.
All right. Sounds good. True Homo Sapiens by BlueWrite76. Morning sleepy eyes found sun. Squirrels land on broad smiles. Trees be the roof that dance. Their babies roll off from soft leaves. Dawn finds them happy on earthy beds. Welcome them, butterflies. Sing around lakes and rivers, pools and baths. Alligators and snakes in wait. Live the animal life in jungles left, away in islands and forests scarce. Know of men like us that fly in big birds on sky with tough wings. Travel on spear-like boats, fast and fierce. They can't smell the trees and earth on us that aren't of the jungle made. Walk with friendly smiles and gifts. Give them medicine and soft, useless clothes. Yet with a heart that betrays, eyes on their land and people, the hidden treasures beneath their feet lure them with luxury and adventure. We don't know to sleep with the flies, nor do we know of real sweat and blood. Tigers that invade their open land seldom find their sharp spear's end. Hunters that don't hunt for sport, tigers know of them as two-limbed animals who still know peace and leisure, different from their funny, cruel species that burn and cut the trees. Lions hold them as cousins who don't want cards and credits, those that live for a day's success, not to kill on the race to the top. We went there to civilize them, gave them our scriptures and robes, clothed their bare, tough skins, and unclothed their soft hearts, where our knowledge and shallow ethics find way into vulnerable minds that know only love and acceptance. Then when they learn of our deceit, like those shy touch-me-not, they close their hearts and minds to our deceptive books and useless gifts, hide in their green open homes to protect them from us that are the most dangerous animals to fight. In their non-written yet respected dictionaries and rules and poem.
And what a wonderful read that was. And what a deep, you know, almost like philosophical piece, you know, that talks of the great injustice, you know, that, you know, that speaks to me of the, you know, the Amerindians that, you know, we forced off their lands. We put them in reserves. Well, I don't know if that happened. I think that happened in the United States too. But, you know, here in Canada, and, you know, we arrived with all these trinkets, you know, and just to, where is that? It says, oh, yeah, walk with friendly smiles and gifts. Give them medicine and soft, useless clothes. Yet with a heart that betrays eyes on their land and people and the hidden treasures beneath their feet, lure them with luxury and adventure. And, you know, that's exactly what we did, you know. I still remember that story, that history, in history class, you know, where they gave them all these blankets that were, you know, infested with, what was it, little pox or think, so that the, you know, and that wasn't, they didn't know these, they weren't used to all these viruses, they didn't know them, they weren't immune to all these viruses, and, you know, they killed off on purpose, you know, large portions of the population, and, yeah, you know, just, because they wanted to rid the land of them, you know, and taking their children, putting them in schools, you know, to teach them to for the future generation, so that they can control them, you know, just you know. Anyway, that's what all these things came up to my mind when. When I read this piece, you know, it really touched me and enraged me a bit too. And Phil, what are your thoughts? Hello?
My bad, I muted myself. I think this was an excellent piece reflecting the great prompt. I really like this prompt. There's something about it that just, it seems right, if that makes sense. It's just masterfully handled, I think, by the artist. And when I looked at that prompt and I started reading this piece, the first two stanzas really took off with me because morning sleepy eyes found sun, squirrels land on broad smiles, trees be the roof that dance, their babies roll off from soft leaves, dawn finds them happy on earthy beds, welcoming butterflies sing around lakes and rivers pool and baths, jeez, alligators and snakes in wait, live the animal life in jungles left, away in islands and forests scarce, because it takes you to another place, a place where it's a reality. And, you know, people lose sight of that because we're also used to cars and trains and buses and planes and clatter and chatter and, you know, all this insanity that we call life when, you know, something cool and calm and easy, you know, not that life is easy by any means, but something so, with a lot less bullshit, let's just put it that way, is doable. It's possible. People can be happy with simple ways. So, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, everybody wants to be that way. But, you know, some of this just reflects that, you know, there is a certain peace that comes with that that life, you know, and who are we to say anyone's wrong for living it? You know, I grabbed the next stanza down from that as well, but I think that you know, I'm not going to read it because I can barely read anything anyway. But yeah, I thought it was a great work throughout, and I thought it was very well penned. So nice job, you know, Blue Rite 76. Liked it a lot.
Yeah, awesome comment there, good feel. And Pam, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I like the narrative that she's approached this with, from telling it from the perspective of one of the people who comes from, like, the big city or wherever, the busy modern life, to change these people. And it's almost as if it's speaking from the perspective of someone who starts to realize that that isn't something that should be happening. It definitely is a strong, heartfelt write on a deceitful attempt to take away the culture of people that have strong connections to nature. I really like how the narrative says, the most dangerous animal to fight in their non-written yet respected dictionaries and rules. The whole idea that sometimes the most dangerous cultures are the ones that have the most rules, and there really is a sense of awareness within those end lines. And I also really like where she gets very visceral with the imagery of we who don't know how to sleep with the flies, nor do we know of real sweat and blood. Tigers that invade their open land seldom find their sharp spears end. Hunters that don't hunt for sport. You know, here's a people who have a connection with nature, and they depend on it for survival, but they also know that it's an extremely dangerous and harsh. And so there's such two completely different environments that are clashing together. And wonderful write and very well done.
I like that, you know, that observation, Pam. Yeah, the clashing of two ways of living, you know. And, yeah, it really, really comes out in this piece. Wonderfully written by Rose Winter. By Blue Rite 76, sorry. Yeah, amazing, right? And next up, we have a write by Rose Winter, 515. And, it's my turn to read. And this is really, it's a brevity. Our bright world of peace and harmony. Our bright world of peace and harmony. Singing in rain, smiling with sunshine. World of nature celebrates hope, heartfelt happiness. And, so she wrote to the, you know, like all she took like all the prompts and kind of mixed them, I guess, and came up with this wonderful little brevity. You know, the celebration of hope and heartfelt happiness. So I love those lines there. And Phil, what did you think?
I thought it was just a great brevity. It was nicely done. And by the way, I'm going to charge you for taking my right to read. I was supposed to read that.
Yeah.
Well, let's know that. I did not notice. But
that's
yes,
exactly what I thought.
Singing in rain, smiling with sunshine. World of nature celebrates hope, heartfelt happiness. I think she really like hit all the right notes with this one, for real. You know, I mean, once you learn to sing with the rain or in the rain, you know, smile with the sunshine, you know, and you find harmony with the world of nature, you know, automatically, you know, you can celebrate hope. You know, if every time it rains you sit and cry because it's raining, you know, you just don't flourish. You know, you don't move ahead. You don't, you know, you stop and you sit there and you go, oh, boo-hoo, it's raining. It's a whole world of difference in how you perceive things. And I think that she hit the right notes with this. And, heartfelt happiness. I just think it was just nicely done like that. So great job, and thank you so much, Rose Winter, 315. I hope I did that. Oh, 515, sorry. My bad.
Absolutely. I like your the take on the right to feel, you know, that it's so true, you know. You have to appreciate the rain because, you know, things are all different in the rain than they are in the sunshine. So to appreciate one, you have to know live in the other, I think, you know.
Yep.
And vice versa. Yeah. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like this brevity and how it celebrates hope and it celebrates life, and it knows that Rose Winter expresses really well the idea of really finding true happiness within yourself, especially with lines like singing in rain and celebrates hope. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you so much, Rose Winter 515. And our next write is by Robert J. Tice, would it be pronounced? And Phil, if you want to give that one a read, please.
Sure thing. Yeah, let me figure out where the heck I am. Oh, I'm over here. I don't know what I did, but I sure got somewhere. Okay, this is called On the Contrary by Robert J. Tice. Although we look upon one earth, we seem to meet two different worlds. Of course, we're individuals, alive at varied times and sites. Our circumstances singular, however they may overlap. Perspective ever relative to paths that ravel, intersect, or parallel, perhaps a bit, until we'll wander onward through some personal discernment turned by senses, questions, theories, fears, extraordinary memories, attractions and distractions, goals. What once was cherished, envied most, until new tangents promised more than anything you loved before. Now journeys bring us close again, although we do appear opposed, unready yet to reconcile what makes me weep that makes you smile. But what if we start with what's true? This globe's not wholly red, more blue. And hope.
Wonderful read there, Phil. And yeah, I really like this write by, and you know, what struck me is, yeah, I didn't put the title of that painting. You know, the painting, the prompt that he chose, prompt 9,
yeah,
is the girl with the face half water and then like the green on the other side. But the title of that art piece is Envy. And he has the word envy right in the poem. And so I thought that was really neat that he picked up on that. And, yeah, so great write by Robert J. Tice. I was checking out the prompt again. I'll get back to his write here. And, you know, just I just liked, you know, the different perspectives, you know, as we travel. And until we'll wander onward through some personal discernment turned by senses, questions, theories, fears, extraordinary memories, attractions and distractions and goals. And then he ends with the question, but what if we start with what's true? This globe's not wholly red or blue. So, you know, why can't we all just get along, I guess is what he's saying, you know. Take the time to try and understand each other and go from there as what I'm getting, you know, and the world would be a better place for everyone. And, you know, so what a wonderful philosophical write this is, you know, by this wonderful poet. And Pam, your thoughts on the write?
Oh, this is beautiful. A very thoughtful write on the idea of changing perspectives or different perspectives, and how, you know, we need to open up our minds and understand that not everybody's going to think what like we do. Not everybody's going to see things the way we do. I really like where he says, perspective ever relative to paths that ravel, intersect, or parallel, perhaps a bit. You know, we may have similar experiences and react differently to the same experiences or grow differently because of them. I also really like where he says, now journeys bring us close again, although we do appear opposed, unready yet to reconcile. What makes me weep that makes you smile? You know, sometimes it takes, we need a bit more time to grow as a person, to truly, you know, understand the beauty of such a diversity in the world. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Yeah, time to grow, indeed. And wonderful comment, Pam. And feel your thoughts.
Well, I thought this was a nicely penned piece. I thought it was a great reflection on the chosen prompt, just from your description alone, Naomi. So I think I got a glimpse of that earlier. I thought it was nicely expressed. And I started, what once was cherished, envied most, until new tangents promised more than anything you loved before. Now, journeys bring us close again, although we do appear opposed, unready yet to reconcile what makes me weep that makes you smile. But what if we start with what's true? This globe's not wholly red or blue. Well done. I said, well done. Appreciate the share. You know, really, you know, to me, I look at this and I go back to a statement that I made a long time ago. We have to learn to celebrate our differences. We can't let our differences divide us. We have to have our differences just be different, you know, agree to disagree, you know, and that's the trick of it all. And I think that there's some of that definitely floating around on this, or in this, you know, and I think that that really is kind of the best way for me to express it. So nice job, Robert, and thanks for sharing with us. You did a fine job.
I like that, agree to disagree. Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, you need more of that for sure, more understanding, more empathy in the world. And,
yep.
You know.
Amen.
Yeah. And we have our, so thank you very much, Robert, for that write. And we have our next write-up by Eric Meyer, or... Yeah, Eric Meyer, and I think it's Pam's turn to read.
All right. Let's see here. It Was a Bad Decision to Stay by Eric Meyer. The tempest rages, thrashing and churning as if the very heavens have conspired against you. The winds howl with a ferocity that can only be described as otherworldly, and yet in this moment of desperation, not a soul dares to lend voice to your pleas for aid. The lightning streaks across the sky, illuminating the fear etched on your face, while our times, dare I say, have grown frightfully dire. In the midst of this tumultuous affair, a torrential rain descends, drenching everything in its path. An ominous darkness descends, shrouding the landscape in an eerie blanket. The dogs, sensing the impending calamity, join in a chorus of urgent barks, their own version of a cry for help. You clutch onto the hope that someone somewhere will hear their pleas and guide you to safety. Suddenly, a startling clap of thunder reverberates through the air as if the heavens themselves have split asunder. Bellowing winds scream with fury. People scatter, their faces contorted with panic as they run aimlessly in search of refuge. Alas, even the moon chooses this dire moment to forsake us, refusing to rise and cast its guiding light upon our path. O rain-soaked day of mayhem, your name, a desperate cry for assistance, echoes in our hearts. Mayday, mayday, a stormy, rainy rain day that wreaks havoc upon our weary souls. And yet, even in the face of such chaos, our indomitable spirit persists, reminding us that we must persevere, no matter how unyielding the storm may appear. End poem.
Yeah, this wonderful read there, Pam. And, you know, this made me think of, you know, yes, like 9/11 or, you know, so many other tragedies that happened, across time. When you think of, what's happened right now in Morocco, I think that's Morocco, eh? In English, with the torrential rains and then, you know, that was awful. That's just awful there, what just happened there in that country. And, it made me think of, you know, all these disasters that are happening all over the world since this year, and really this year, my gracious, and it's crazy. But, that's what brought to mind. Wonderful prose, wonderful lines in here. Wonderful metaphors and powerful, powerful imagery really right throughout the write, all the way through. And so well done, Eric Meyer, for sure. And what did you think, Phil, of this write?
Holy moly. The title, it was a bad decision to stay. All I think about is like the hurricanes and as you said, the natural disasters mm-hmm. that you're seeing everywhere. And, you know, someone says, well, you know, I think we'll be okay. We'll just stay here. We'll hunker down and board up and everything will be okay. And then once everything hits, it's kind of like, what the hell was I thinking? You know, it sounded really mm-hmm. good until now, you know, and I mean, that's kind of where my head went with this piece. And grabbed up the last two stanzas because, you know, I thought that they kind of came closer to that thought. Suddenly, a startling clap of thunder reverberates through the air as if the heavens themselves have split asunder. Bellowing winds scream with fury. People scatter, their faces contorted with panic as they run aimlessly in search of refuge. Alas, even the moon chooses this dire moment to forsake us, refusing to rise and cast its guiding light upon our path. O rain-soaked day of mayhem, your name, a desperate cry for assistance, echoes in our hearts. Mayday, mayday, a storm rain day that wreaks havoc upon our weary souls. And yet, even in the face of such chaos, our indomitable spirit persists, reminding us that we must persevere no matter how unyielding the storm may appear. You know, it's got to be a terrible thought if you're stuck in a situation like that, because there isn't really nowhere to go at that point in time. And I think that this was really well expressed and, put out there for everyone to read. But, if this actually happened, I feel bad for this fella. But the image that he wrote to did have that day and night kind of appearance to it, you know, where it could be a storm after, you know, a normal day. Or a normal day after the storm, because you never know. But really, really well expressed there, Eric Meyer, and thank you so much for sharing. I don't really know. The descriptions were wonderful, and his thoughts were well done. So, have to say. Good work.
Amazing, amazing comment there. Yeah, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, yeah. I like your comment there, you know, that relates right up to the title that way. I didn't think of that, but great observation there, Phil. And Pam, your thoughts?
I really liked how he had such powerful, visceral and haunting imagery, and how he brings us into a day in the life of people who live in an area where there are those weather events, like, you know, hurricanes or tornadoes or storms, you know, that really just throw your life apart, and you have to make that decision if you're going to stay where you are and or move on. And you know, I really like how this speaks on standing firmly against the storm, and the storm being either literal or a great metaphor for just the, you know, the way life can get very difficult at some times, and you feel like giving up, but you just
Amen.
Dig in your heels and you don't.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
wonderful. Yeah.
Yep. Great, right.
Awesomely said there. Awesomely said, Pam. And, for our next write, I'm just, where am I going? Because we won't have time to read them all tonight. So, you know, I don't know where I'm going. But anyway, so I put one up by Julie Buck here, and this is called I'm Not Having Fun. What is fun? I've asked around, but they don't know. Laughing is fun. Thank God I don't have to go anywhere to get my laughs in for my health. Because Lord knows this gal don't ever leave her desk chair lest it's for bed or food. My needs must be simple. What with me being so jacked, I've got issues. I want to rise up and be me again. Time will tell if I decide to attempt that, or if a decision is thrust upon me for me, or if I just disappear back into the abyss. But anyway, you slice this flesh. I still cry every day and hate everybody, mostly myself. And sometimes I just want to disappear. Please, no eternal life as some kind of reward. Sounds like hell to me, glorified body or not. Can we nap in heaven? Having filled my cup with every color, I remember the smell of peanut butter toast and always black coffee, the breakfast my dad ate every day before leaving for his factory job. Funny, though, that I don't remember if he preferred smooth or crunchy. Makes me sad not to remember. Fact is, I do care about me, but seems not enough. Just not enough. Guess I gotta turn up my care volume, God damn it. And yes, stop saying the GD word, cause it's shameful. Even for a non-practicing Catholic like myself, options hath always been an evil pain. How about the option to not have any god dang options? Now we're talking, boy. One more sip of hypocrisy, the nap time on my grassy hill. With nary even bladder incontinence, I'd say I still have some viable skill and poem. And Pam, I'll let you start this off.
Well, great reading it there, Naomi. And I have to say, you know, Julie always has some wonderful creative lines that really have an emotional impact. And I like how this speaks on the confusion of the mind and, you know, just the thought that, you know, when there's too many options and too much to think on and, you know, you just kind of become overwhelmed. And I really like the question, can we nap in heaven? And I really like to think that, yes, yes, we can, wherever and whenever we want. But I really like, I want to rise up and be me again. Time will tell if I decide to attempt that or if a decision is thrust upon me for me or if I just disappear back into the abyss. You know, there's something about this that makes me think of somebody with, like, Alzheimer's or dementia or maybe, you know, even, you know, dealing with some mental health disorder where they can no longer make decisions for themselves. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely with the bladder incontinence and the kind of slipping back into the abyss lines and especially the swearing. You know, I don't know, it just seems like, and obviously there's people that swear without dementia or Alzheimer's.
Read me out of it.
I'm proof of that. But, but I remember working in a nursing home, and we had one elderly lady there, and, oh, my goodness, every other word that slipped out of her was a curse word. And somebody asked her family once if she had always been like that her whole life, and they said no, up until the point where she started, you know, having her issue with her Alzheimer's, she was the politest lady you ever met your whole life. Yep. But, yeah, I really thought this was just an amazing write and very well done.
Yeah, I like what you said, Pam, you know, about I didn't even think of Alzheimer's when I was reading this, but you know, she has a part in here which really, really touched me when she's talking about her father, and I remember the smell of peanut butter toast and always black coffee, the breakfast my dad ate every day before leaving for his factory job. Funny though, I don't remember if he preferred smooth or crunchy. Makes me sad not to remember. Yeah, so, you know, the sadness of forgetting there. But also it could be, you know, like you said, just a mental, you know, could be, you know, I know being bipolar, you know, there's sections of my life that my kids told me, you know, when I was really sick and I was like psychotic and I don't remember at all doing those things. And so, you know, but this is just like this kind of right that just seemed to flow right out of the poet, you know, of Julie here. It's the kind of right, you know, that just is so authentic and real and raw and just feels like it's just coming right straight forward, you know, out of the person. So just an amazing write here by Julie Buck. And what did you think about the write, Phil?
Well, you know, I thought it was a really good write. I, you know, and Pam, I'm telling you, leave my family out of that. That was my grandmother, damn it. you know, I thought it was a good book on the prompt, and I thought it was clever the way that she had tied it together. Having filled my cup with every color, I remember the smell of peanut butter toast and always black coffee, the breakfast my dad ate every day before leaving for his factory job. Funny, though, that I don't remember the preferred smooth or if he preferred smooth or crunchy. makes me sad not to remember. Fact is, they do care about me, but seems not enough. Just not enough. Guess I got to turn up my care volume, goddammit. And yes, stop saying the GD word, because it's shameful, even for a non-practicing Catholic like myself. I think that she says a lot in here, and she says it from different aspects of her life. You know, I'm sure all of us have someone that we loved and cared for that we just can't quite remember things about, you know, that we've lost, obviously. And we just don't have those details stored away. And you kind of go, well, why don't I know that? Why don't I know that? And, you know, and as for the cussing thing, well, you know, hey, we all have our faults. And God knows I do. But, you know, I do care about me, but it seems not enough, just not enough. Guess I got to turn up my care volume. You know, you do. Sometimes you sit and you think to yourself, wow, you know, I really do care about myself. Why am I still doing this? You know, why do I do that? Why do I do things that aren't good for me, that aren't getting me anywhere, you know? And Pam, I'm with you. There's got to be naps in heaven everywhere. They have siestas everywhere.
That's right.
I'm that girl.
Beds and pillows and resting couches of all kinds, like those Victorian resting couches where you can just throw yourself back and take a nap.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've called Pam or Pam has called me. I'm calling her and she was just getting up from a nap and she's calling me and I said, oh my God, I was asleep. It's kind of silly, ain't it, Pam, when we think about it? We do. We're the napping girls, boy.
We are.
The whole fails when you go to sleep. That's the way to do it. But, you know, options have always been an evil pain about how about the option to not have a good day option. I like it. I like that. That's the one way of problem solving. You know, so go, Julie. You hold up your end. We'll work on the next, always. But, yeah, very well done, and thanks, Julie, for sharing with us. Great job.
I really like this write. She went all out. great write by Julie. And I have our next write out off by Misri Arjun. Misri Arjun. And Phil, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Sure. Two Sides by Misri Arjun. Gotta make it big enough I can read it. Orange and black, they make hues plenty, portraying many tales of life. Under the orange sky, an umbrella of hope, I stretch my dreams big and bright. Unloading my thoughts, I take recess in the night heat, looking at the setting sun and the rising stars. I gather my thoughts on them often and hold on to their imprint with the passing of time. I frame them together, the shades of life, while they complete my words and lines and poem.
I just love the flow and the way this is written, you know. Both are equally important, you know, that those times, you know, in our life, whether it be the day, whether it be the night, they all flow in together. They're all imprints with the passing time. I frame them together, the shades of life, while they complete my words and lines. You know, her life, all those memories, all the things that are there, all her dreams, everything that's her life, you know, she sees in that, like in that artwork. I don't know. That artwork inspired this write, which is just so amazing. And, you know, what a beautiful spiritual write and just amazingly well done here. And Pam, what do you think?
Oh, this is beautiful. I really like the imagery and metaphor in this. I like how it speaks on finding beauty and balance in the light and dark of life. And I think for me, my favorite stanza is the second couplet that says, "Under the orange sky, an umbrella of hope, I stretch my dreams big and bright." I like how that speaks on looking towards the horizon of the future and seeing all the potential that's out there. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Pam. And the next write I'll have up will be by Darken Doris. And Pam, if you can give that a read.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to. Her Strong Side 1 by Darkened Auras. In the beginning, she was tried and true, yet not yet cried the river of ocean blue. She was a fierce warrior, forever brave. She had no need for some man to save. Her eyes burned holes through target prey. Now they hold her emotions at bay. She once was blind to a world so cruel. Now she's seen the red flags of being a fool. She can't remember her life from the start, now that it's been broken completely apart. Today she no longer wants to be integrated. Strong side one, while the weak disintegrated. End poem.
Wonderful read, Pam, and a wonderful write, you know, by Darken Doris here. And, you know, so happy that it has a happy ending. Her strong side won, you know, a woman that, you know, was strong in the beginning, got into this relationship, it tore her apart. But she got out of it, and she won in the end. So, just an amazing take on that prompt and a very wonderful flow and rhythm to this whole write. So, bravo. Well done, Darken Doris. And what did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought this was a pretty cool write. The first stanza, in the beginning, she was tried and true. Not yet cried the river of ocean blue. She was a fierce warrior, forever brave, had no need for some man to save. I think that kind of, you know, it showed both sides of this image in that one stanza. And I think that's why I kind of, I liked it. It was a great way to break into the piece. Excuse me. And then the final stanza, she can't remember her life from the start. Now that has been broken completely apart. Today she no longer wants to be integrated. Strong side won while the weak disintegrated. You know, so she won and she's stronger for it, is what I take from that. So I think this was nicely done by Darken Doris. Another fine piece that she shared with us, and I appreciate that always. So, excellent job. Thanks for sharing, hon.
Absolutely. And well said, Phil. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery. Really a great write on finding strength through difficult times. And I really liked this all the way through, but the second stanza was the one that really spoke to me on learning to recognize those red flags. So very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful comment. And I have another write-up for Pam for you to read by Ken Smith.
All right. Last Days of Summer by Ken Smith. Before the round to fall, I sit in the transition, half asleep, my steamy morning elixir. White flecks in it again, the no-name creamer going bad a month before its time. What if fall had slipped past altogether, and these are snowflakes dotting the circle of brown soil? Eyes still furry, my mind rests on a puffball of a pallid dandelion in shadows. The hot brewed beans, warm colors inside me. I'll sip a second cup, then decide how to dress. A beach shirt to soak in sun rays, or a zipped up jacket for the cool shades of turning leaves. End poem.
This had beautiful, beautiful, you know, a beautiful flow. And you read that so perfectly, Pam. You know, this is just amazing. I just love this poem. I love the part where he talks about the coffee, the hot brewed beans warm inside, warm colors inside me. I'll sip a second cup, then decide how to dress. Yeah, because, you know, well, he must come from the north, because you never know how to dress, like in September, October there. You know, one day it's warm, the next day it's freezing out. I just like the line also, a beach shirt to soak in sun rays. That's really neat. I really like this you know, this poem a real lot. And Phil, what are your thoughts?
I'd like to give them to you, but I was busy writing the last comment. So let me roll through this and I
should. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Thank you. So, I can leave it in writing too. So your choice.
Okay, and Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, I enjoy this one, especially since I can relate to it as not being able to make a decision about anything really until after my second cup of coffee. Yes, Ken is actually, he is from Canada. So, you know, definitely he has those cold mornings. I love the imagery and metaphors in this. And I really like how it speaks on oftentimes how we view things is all about our state of mind rather than what life offers up to us. So great write and very well done.
Yeah, indeed. And, okay. I have to pick up our next piece here. And then... Lynn. Okay, who read last? I don't remember. Pam?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it's my turn to read. Okay, this is by Fabrice D. And ours, oh, the same prompt again. That prompt was really popular. Ours are flowers. Ours are flowers, one after one, blooming and timeless, hymens of the dusk and the dawn. Thus they should be plucked like one picks the roses, given only to love. Of ours, nothing's left as of the lightning, that to fatal knot time has just given in its rapid flight. Just embrace the finest. Always that boat to ring, and retain it well to your heart's liking, as the one moment that your soul has dreamed, as if happiness of the longest of life was in that going by. You will always find from the first hour till the one of night chiming out 12 times, the vines on the mounts inundated with light in shades of woods, myrtles. Love, drink, love, the rest is full of vain trivia, wine that renewed blood upon the glad lips shed, revives the other blood that ages in your veins, gives oblivion of past. Let the love hour with others be followed. Relish in the glance that comes from the beauty. Being alone is death, be too is life's aglow. Love is immortality. End poem. And I really like this write by Fabrice. I like the idea of ours are flowers, one after one blooming, you know, And thus they should be plucked like one picks the roses, given only to love. A life of love. Oh, you know, wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, we always have to be surrounded by love. I guess love is, you know, I mean, what is life without love, really, you know? But wonderful right here, and wonderful lines. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, this is beautiful. Amazing imagery and metaphors. An excellent write on living in the moment and appreciating the gifts of love and life and all that they have to offer. I really like these lines. You will always find from the first hour till the one of night chiming out 12 times, the vines on the mounts inundated with light and shades of woods, myrtles. You know, that's just such thoughtful imagery there. And really great how he writes on the idea of appreciating each moment. So very well done.
Yes, appreciating each moment indeed. Amazing write by Fabrice. And feel your thoughts. Phil, are you mutating? Hello?
I guess Phil's not commenting, I think, because she threw herself in.
Oh, okay. Well, so, I have the next poem. If for Phil up, it's a little poem. If you want to read that, Phil. Or is she gone?
Poor thing. No. I got pulled away in the middle of that last poem. So.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I couldn't give you anything. Imagination by Poetry Lover 7. Protect the children. Let them use their imagination. Open up their world. Fly to new heights. Take them places filled with rainbows and bright sunshine while they can. End poem. Nice.
Nice, yeah. You know, before they're, while they can, you know, before they're plucked out of their innocence into this turmoil of this crazy life, you know, of having to work and everything and fast-paced work and responsibility, you know. Let go of that imagination. Let them have their imagination. And what did you think, Pam, of this write? Hello, Pam?
Sorry about that. Like this because I think it's so important to let children use their imagination. I remember I had a friend's mother who'd come by my house, and my daughter, my oldest, when she was about 2 years old, loved to pretend she was a puppy. And she said something to me about that, how I shouldn't let her do that. And I'm like, she's not going to pretend to be a puppy her whole life. You know, right. Let her do it for now, you know. Right. I mean, they grow out of that soon enough. But, you know, wonderful right on allowing, the importance of allowing children to keep their innocence and just be children. So wonderful right and very well done.
Absolutely. And wonderfully said there, Pam. And and Phil, what did you think of the right?
You know, I think it was a great take on the contest name in general, you know, let me not just go there, you know, the name imagination, but it talks about filled with rainbows and bright sunshine. So, you know, you're celebrate the bright, I think it's pulled into that. I don't know what photo is or what it looks like, but I think that she met the whole concept right here in this short little piece. And I thought it was great because children should be allowed to use their imagination. God knows when they get older and they're stuck with working and work, and running that rat race, they need a place to escape. They can't live there forever, but they need a place to just be able to drift off in every once in a while. Sit there and stare out the window and think wonderful thoughts. Then when you come back to Earth, back to the grind. I really believe that. That's what's wrong with me today. But I'm just saying, you know, you got to have that imagination. That's what makes it happen. So I think it's wonderful.
Daydream and nap, eh?
If I'm not dreaming.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, that's my kind of thing. Yep. All else fails, shot at dental health. It's all good. Right, Pam? Work with me here.
Absolutely.
So this has been an awesome evening, you know, spent with you girls. Thank you so much, Pam and Phil, and being my wonderful co-host, and I just love doing this show with you. And thank you everybody who's written for the show, and and for Ed Hunter, who phoned in to read his piece earlier on. And so I just want to wish everybody a great week, and wish everybody a good night, and good night to you guys, Pam and Phil.
And thank you, Naomi. A wonderful show tonight. Great great prompts, great poetry, you know. And it's always fun hanging with the two of you. It's always good. So thank you very much for that. Pam, behave yourself.
I make no promises, but I'll try my best.
I know. I would be remiss if I didn't say something. Be good, girls. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.